Well, there was a police officer and attempting to stop a car for speeding, and the guy gradually increases his speed until he is topping out at over 100 miles an hour. And the man eventually realizes there's no way that he can get away from the police officer, so he pulls his car over. And the cop approaches the car and he says, "Sir, it's the end of my shift. I'm literally getting ready to go and be done for the day. But if you can give me one good excuse why I'll let you go, why you're going so fast." And the guy thinks for a few seconds and he says, "Well, my wife ran away with a cop about a week ago, and I thought you might be the officer trying to give her back." Happy Valentine's Day. Well, we're glad that you've made a choice to be with us here at Waverly Open Bible. If you got your Bibles with you, your phone or your tablet, you can join me in Genesis chapter 12. So we're going to be spending most of our time. The scriptures will be up on the screen here in just a few minutes. And we're going to be here today. We're looking at an Old Testament couple, and we're going to let their marriage kind of speak to us, the good and the bad, because we know that marriages are not just happy, happy, joy, joy. We had a marriage conference here this weekend, Friday night and Saturday morning. Yeah, there was more than those three people here, believe it or not. But 30 families have been impacted, and many, many relationships outside of that. And just an amazing time. It was beautiful to see husbands and wives taking time to better their marriage, better their family. And literally that goes and it translates into every relationship that we have. So I hope next year, as we look at doing another marriage conference, I hope that you'll make the time, and we will let you know as far in advance as we can, and that you can be here. We are very conscious of time. And so, you know, we want you to be here. We're not going to keep you here for, you know, extremely long periods of time, but we want you to come. We want to help enrich your relationships, enrich your marriage. And so thank you for those that came out, were a part of it. Today we're looking at a guy named Abram. You may not know, but later on God changed his name to Abraham. And so we're looking at Abram and his wife Sarai, who later became Sarah. So for those of you that are not yet married, I want to ask you, one day when you do get married, what do you want out of your marriage? What do you want out of your marriage? And I'm sure that if you're of that age and you've probably even thought about that, or maybe you're engaged or you're seriously dating someone and you've thought about, man, what am I really looking for out of this marriage? And for those of you that are married, if you just kind of rewind back, if you can, if you will, to the pre-marriage days, and you're looking forward to your marriage, the date hasn't yet come, what did you think it would be like? I hear someone laughing. Yeah. Chances are pretty good that your story went something similar to this. You were in love, right? You were in love with that person, and you had a serious case of the tingles and the warm fuzzy wuzzies, you know, and you might have been a nervous wreck all at the same time. And as you were in love, you assumed that same excitement would follow you all the way through your perfect marriage. One day you would have the perfect little home, maybe with a nice little white fence, a dog, especially not a cat, no cats, at least not in my home. Chances are you'd have a couple kids, you'd have a great career, you would do some traveling, you would grow old together. Let's fast forward maybe 5 years into your marriage, 7, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. And if you're like many people, you might say, listen, we're just trying to stay afloat, man. We're just trying to stay married. We're just trying to make sure the bills are paid. We're trying to keep the kids out of jail, you know, and we're all of these things. It didn't really line up exactly with our reality. And sometimes midway into the marriage or relationship, you end up saying, this isn't quite like I thought it would be. Sometimes it's better, sometimes it's worse, but rarely is it like we expected. You might be looking at your life and you go, this is nothing like I had planned, nothing. Some of you are going to think, by this time, I thought I'd be married. Some of you are going to say, I'm married and I thought my marriage would be much different. And if you look at your life, you're thinking this is much, much different than really what I had planned in my head. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. When God speaks to Abram and he says this, God says, leave your country, leave your people and your father's household and go to the land that I will show you. And then God makes this remarkable promise to Abram. He says, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. God says that you're going to have to leave all of these comforts and you're going to have to go into another place. And Shane and Mandy, you've probably been experiencing that, leaving some comforts of what you guys call home and starting a new place that you guys will call home. And I believe that God will speak to many of you in one way or another through this message today. And God is going to say that you are going to have to, by faith, follow me. That's what God's saying. And when I call you into the unknown zone, you're going to have to leave the things that are most comfortable, and you're going to have to follow me by faith in order to receive the blessings. In fact, if you look into the New Testament, you're going to see Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, that he, Abram, was characterized by what? He was characterized by this word faith. And here's what the word of God says, Hebrews 11, 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. Nicole and I were living in Northern Virginia outside of Washington, D.C. before God brought us here. And we had no idea. We knew that God was stirring us and had been stirring us, but we had no idea. We had resumes all over the country except for California. We just said, hey, God, listen, we don't want to raise our family there. If you're from California, where's Sharon? No, she's here. You're from California. No offense. That was kind of one of the places we drew the line, because we wanted to be by grandparents and we wanted our kids to be by their grandparents. And so we wanted to be as somewhat close, but we said, God, listen, here's kind of, we're willing to go anywhere. And I was saying, don't take offense to this. I was saying in my prayer time that I was willing to go just about anywhere but back to Iowa, because I grew up here. My wife was born here, but she moved to California when she was young. By faith, Abram followed the voice of God, and that's exactly what we did as well. And we thank God for it every single day. We thank God that he brought us here, that this door opened. And God will often call you and I into the life of blessing, and the only road is the faith road. Not fun at times, not fun at all. But chances are you're kind of like me, and you're going to say, hey, God, before I go, you know, can we get some details here? What kind of doors are you going to be opening up? What are the people going to be like? You know, what kind of climate is there going to be? And so we ask God these things, and God says, listen, if I give you the details, you can't handle the details, right? Because if you knew everything that was going to happen, you may not choose to obey. And that's the reality of life. Secondly, God may say, hey, I'm not going to give you the details, because if you have the details, then it's not going to take any faith. Where does faith kick in? Where does that kick in? So without faith, it is impossible to please God. We know that through scripture. So Abram and Sarai get this promise. You're going to be a great nation, God says. In other words, you're going to have a lot of kids and a lot of grandbabies, and you're going to be crazy blessed with children and descendants. But first, you have to go. Abram and Sarai didn't always have faith. We're going to first see Abram mess up and falter in his faith. And then we're going to see his wife mess up and falter in her faith. And then we're going to watch as they both together mess up and falter in their faith. But the good news is that even when they are faithless, God is still God. Amen? God is faithful. And the same will be true in our lives as we get to know the goodness and the faithfulness of God. What typically happens when life doesn't go as planned? Well, rather than being strengthened in our faith, many of us falter in our faith. We begin to doubt. We begin to ask questions. We begin to step away and say, am I really in the right place? And we don't want to do it, but that's just how it is. And we become careless at times. Look at three things in their marriage that happened when life didn't go as planned. Number one, in your notes, we fall victim to fear. This is huge. This is what Abram did when there was famine in the land. Basically, the economy dropped, it tanked, it bottomed out. And so he moved his family to Egypt, but he ran into some fear and he made some sinful decisions based out of fear. Verses 11 through 13 say this: as Abram was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife, Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are. So when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. So basically in verse 13, he says, I want you to lie. I want you to lie, Sarai. So you're my sister. That's what he says. I want you to tell them that you're my sister, which is a half-truth because she was a half-sister, which is kind of gross if you think about it. And this wasn't in Kentucky, so we don't have to worry about it too much. I lived in Dayton, which is not too far from Kentucky, so we always throw those jokes around. But he says, say you're my sister so that I will be treated well for your sake and my life will be spared because of you. Now, you may be going, what is that? Well, during this time when you entered into enemy territory, if the enemy liked your wife, they would kill the husband and they would keep the wife. What's interesting and often missed about this story is that God had already made the promise, you're going to have kids, which according to my sexual education classes that I took in junior high, it takes a living man and a living woman for that to happen. So all of a sudden, he's afraid. He's afraid he's going to die, which tells us that at that moment, he was doubting the promises of God. He was doubting God. By fear, he made a sinful decision and he said, let's lie. Because I really don't trust God to do what he said he's already going to do. Sadly, we see this happening all the time in lives today. So many people are afraid and taken off the track of the blessings of God by this fear. For example, I don't know how many people are not getting married. They're postponing a marriage or entering into the blessings of a godly marriage because they are afraid. What if he cheats? What if she just nags me nonstop? And what if we get divorced? What if we can't have kids? Instead of living by faith, we are living by fear. We see it in marriages all the time. God is calling us to tithe. But what if we struggle financially and what if and we, what if we do all these things? We're going to do it when we're more stable. We'll obey when all of the ducks are in the row. God is calling us to be generous, but what if we lose our job or we feel like God is calling us to be foster parents? What if we bring this child into our home and our kids don't gel well? And honestly, it's like bringing a stranger in. I don't know if I can do it or God is calling one of you to stay home and raise your kids at home. But what if we can't make it financially? I mean, we can't even put food on the table. Maybe God's calling you to start up a business, a ministry, a life group. What if? Instead of building one another up in our marriages, what actually happens is we mutually tear each other down. We talk ourselves out of being obedient to God's word. And that's where the blessings come. I can tell you with absolute certainty that as foster parents, Nicole and I have to talk each other back into faith a lot sometimes. We have our seasons. I believe that God watches out for us and that is faithful, not because we're good at it, because let me tell you, we fail all the time. But we do our best. But instead, we take steps of faith, and I think we've proven that to God, and the next step is only good for that step, and we've got to prove it again, because God asks us sometimes to take some huge steps, huge leaps, and as we're saying yes, our knees are shaking, they're clapping together, and our kids think it's a new dance that we created, but it's not. Our teeth are chattering, they just think we're getting old, we got dentures, I don't know. But at the end of the day, it's not about us. Abram panicked. God had already given him the promise, I'm going to give you kids. And he's like, they're going to kill me. And he stopped believing the promise and he started believing the fear. The second thing is we often get ahead of God. When life isn't going as planned, we often get ahead of God. God, you told us that we were going to have kids, but we're not having kids. I don't know what your problem is. You're taking way too long, God. Don't you know that I'm tired and I'm waiting and I'm expecting and I'm doing all of these things for you, God, and I expect you to hold up your end of the bargain? And then what happens is we begin to take over, right? I'm going to bring some action, God. I'm going to go ahead and show you how it's done, because I don't like your timing, to be honest with you, God. And that's what Sarai did. Abram messed up, and then his wife messed up. Genesis 16, 1 and 2, the Bible says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. You're supposed to have kids. You've got no kids. The big problem, the Bible says, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. And then notice what she says. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Notice what she did not say. She never said, God can do this. No. We're going to hold off. God's going to hold up his end of the bargain. God is going to bring about his promises. We can do this. Wherever God has led us to do, he's going to do it. But no. She says, I'm taking control. I am going to make this happen. I'm going to help you, God. Can I just tell you, God doesn't need your help. When he says he's going to do something, he is going to do it. And so what happens is, just like any relationship would turn out this way, it got nasty. It got nasty because Sarai forced something that should have never been forced. And Abraham gave in, and he was with Hagar, and she gave him a son. And it was just, cat fight. It was jealousy. It was just back and forth and just nastiness for years and trouble upon trouble, because they tried to force something that God, it wasn't in his will. And it's not all uncommon. There will be this amazing young Christian gal, and all of her friends are getting married, and there's nobody around for her, and she finally just sees some guy, and he's not a Christian, and they're not like-minded, and she says, you know what, I'm going to settle, I'm going to compromise. He's a guy, okay, he's got a heartbeat, so he's breathing, and he's got $5 in his wallet, let's do this. Young couples, they want financial stability in their marriage. And they look at their mom and dad, and, they may be in their 20s and 30s, and they say, mom and dad's got a nice car. Mom and dad has a nice house. Mom and dad has all of these things. They can take trips whenever they want to. And so what happens is we, as couples, we can have a tendency to get our marriages in trouble because we get into debt far outside of our means, and we begin to put things on credit, right? Start buying on credit. Oh, this ain't bad. I got it in my hand. It's mine. It's not yours. You haven't paid for it yet. Somebody else paid for it. You're just using it. So instead of waiting and managing money wisely, like the Word of God says, we have a tendency to go out and we put this financial noose around our neck, and we get into debt, and we try to accumulate all of these blessings before the right time, and we spend the next 20 years strangling ourselves because they get ahead of God. Or you might see a woman who is married to a non-believer, and she wants so desperately to share her relationship with Jesus, with her husband. So instead of winning him with the fruits of the Spirit of godliness and humility and gentle and peace, she decides to get all up in his business, right? Or vice versa. You've got to get to church. You're not this. You're not that. And keep shoving all of these things. And what she's doing is she is dishonoring the man, which is her husband. Maybe it's in your job and you're just like, man, I got to get out of here. I can't stand my boss. I can't stand the people I work with. So instead of waiting for God to bring you to a new place, a new job, you decide to quit. And you wonder why 9 months later you're not employed. You're looking for another job. No one's hiring you. You can't pay the bills because we forced it. It's outside of God's will. They panicked and they got ahead of God, which is common and it's dangerous. God, you said you're not, so I will. And then we say, hey, listen, I'm going to force this. Why don't you have my back, God? You said that you're for me, you're not against me, but how come you don't have my back? Well, we have removed ourselves. We have stepped outside of the very will of God. I remember a title of one of my dad's messages, or maybe more actually the message than the title. When I was little, my dad was pastoring a church in Independence, Iowa. And I don't even remember the name of church. Sorry, Mom and Dad. But I remember this message, and I have always remembered this message. And the message was, is God's timing is always perfect. And even that snippet, that soundbite, if you will, from that message has always stuck with me, because it's been a thing in my life that I've held on to. God, your timing is perfect. I just wish it was now, right? He's God. He's in everything he does is perfect. His timing is perfect. So a lot of times we panic, and this isn't happening, you know, it's because we take ourselves out of who God is calling us to be. God, what are you doing? God, are you just, you're just twiddling your thumbs, and we feel like we've got to do something. We feel like we have to force it, and we're waiting on God. We've got this passive living, waiting on God to be the most active, faith-filled living ever. And it's a little bit like, what does a waiter and waitress do? Well, they serve people, right? They're called a waiter. They're called a waitress, but they serve people. They work very hard for their money. They are active. They are aggressive, like we should be in the waiting period and serving God during that time, serving him, not doubting him, not being filled with unbelief. He said it's going to come to pass. He said he's got your back. Yes, there's over 7,000 promises between these two covers in the Word of God, over 7,000 that are for you and I. But the thing is we've got to wait on God. And in this story, Sarai panics. It's not coming down the way that she wants, so she gets ahead of God. And when things don't go as planned, it's easy to start making decisions based on fear. If you're taking notes, the next point is, it's so easy that we don't believe God will do it for us. We simply don't believe God will be there for us when he says that he will. Oh man, I just don't think you're going to do it, God. He may do it for someone else. He may answer your prayers. He may do it for you, but he's just not coming through for me in my life. And quite honestly, I can understand why Abram and Sarai would feel this way, because the verses that we're going to look at, quite honestly, they're about 30 years after the promise. Think about this. You guys are going to have kids, and you're thinking, oh man, that's great. Let's start building the nursery. Let's start buying things. A year later, they're going, oh man, I thought it would be by now, you know, okay, you know, but it's not. 6 months later, even another year later, and you're like, man, maybe we should go see the doctor. Maybe we should get some things checked out and get a professional opinion. 2 years later, 4, 8, 10 years later, and you're going, God, did you forget little old me down here? Do you remember me? Do you remember me? Okay, God, because I was just wondering, you made this promise to me, and I'm not there yet. I can't feel it. And all of a sudden, you can start to realize this would be easy ground to lose faith 30 years. It's interesting what Abraham and Sarah both did. Genesis 17:17. When God comes to them again, some 30 years later, and says, now very specifically, I'm going to give you a son. The Bible says that Abraham fell face down. He laughed and he said, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Interestingly, Sarah responded the exact same way. She overheard God in verse 12. Genesis chapter 18, and the Bible says, so Sarah laughed to herself, and she thought, after I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? She's being very sarcastic because the Lord asked this question. Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Verse 14, God asked the question, and it must have pierced their souls. Just as I pray that it would pierce our souls today. And he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard? Do you honestly believe that I would tell you something and I would not uphold my end of the deal? Do you really think that there is something that is too hard for me? Maybe you're in a financial mess and you might think, you know, you could never climb out of it, and you're always going to hurt. You're always going to struggle. Maybe you have someone that you're praying for every single day. Maybe you're praying for a sickness in your own body or in someone else in your family. Do you really think that that is too much for God to do? Do you think that God couldn't capture someone's heart and soul and mind and spirit in just an absolute moment? Let me pause for a moment for those of you that are married, and if you're to be really honest, it's not really where it should be right now. Can I just implore you to invite God in? Invite God in. Maybe you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed, but you maybe have not stopped for just a moment and say, God, I think I've been doing this wrong. From this moment on, I invite you into this marriage. And maybe you're the only spouse that's praying it and the other spouse has to realize it, but invite God in. Don't play the little church thing. Go to church, check the box. Okay, we did that. Don't insult God that way. Don't play Christian. Invite God in to do a work. Join hands. We joined hands several times during the marriage conference, and we invited God in, and we were prayed over, and it was just an absolutely amazing time. And then what you do is you brace yourself because God is about to move. Because now you've invited him in. You've opened the doors. You've opened the floodgates. And you say, God, listen, I need you to come in. And whenever your faith starts to falter, and sometimes it's easy to do, then you hang on to him. The good news is that even if you're faithless right now, Abraham and Sarah were faithless. Even though they messed up again and again, here's how the New Testament describes it. Abraham, Romans 4, 19 through 21 says, without weakening in his faith, something happened. There was a transition. There was a transformation. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old and Sarah's womb was also dead. There's a difference between fact and truth, isn't there? Facts can change. Truth never changes. The fact was his body was dead. The truth was is that God gave a promise. Truth trumps the facts. Verse 20, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promises of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully, not partially, persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Do not waver in your faith. Whatever you are asking for today, if there is sick among you, do not waver in your faith. If you are praying for restoration and healing in your marriage, do not waver in your faith. If you are praying for someone else for a healing in their body, do not waver in your faith. This person that Nicole was talking about that has received healing in their body, we have been praying our guts out. Because they were headed for death. There was no other option. But God. But God. Proverbs 19:21 says, for many are the plans in a man's heart, but the Lord's purpose. What God wants to do, Scripture says, will prevail. Will prevail. You do not waver in your faith. Even if you do, there's great news. When you are faithless, he is faithful. When we embrace anyone or anything else but the faithfulness of God, I just encourage you, invite him into your life. Invite him into your marriage. Invite him into your situation. Invite him into your life, especially your covenant union of marriage. And watch, just watch. As he leads you out of a comfort zone. And that's a scary place because we can easily succumb to fear. We can easily be overcome with fear. But as he leads us out of the comfort zone, what is going to happen is we are going to begin to experience his blessings. It's only what God can do. And it may not be in your timing. God's timing is perfect. He's never late. He's never early. He shows up exactly when he intends to show up. Will you pray with me today? God, thank you for saying to us Thank you for speaking to us. I pray that you would do a work inside of each and every single one of us, Lord God. Whatever we are asking, Lord Jesus, by faith, we're stepping out. We're calling the things that are not as if they are. We're stepping out in big faith. Lord God, healings in our body, healings in our marriages, healing in our children, Lord God, whatever it may be, restoration. Lord God, we ask big because we know that you are bigger. Nothing can change that. You are God. I just want everyone, just as you keep praying, just focus for a minute. And ask yourself this question. Are you growing in faith? I'm going to talk about this next week. It's our Vision Sunday. And I'm going to share a message where I feel like God is just leading us for this next year, 2017. Are we growing in our faith, in the things of faith? Do you find yourself talking in fear, or do you talk in unbelief? Are you talking about a God that is bigger than anything, any problem, any situation? Believing God that he is at work for you. The word, when you are sleeping, God is at work for you. And I want you to take a look at your marriage. Is your marriage truly characterized by faith? Or is it just kind of there? It just is what it is. We're just trying to stay afloat. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, quite honestly, I really need to be strengthened in my faith. I want my marriage to be strengthened in faith. I want my relationships. I want to have an unwavering faith in the faithfulness of who God is. And if that's you, I just want to pray with you. Would you just lift your hands right where you're at? Can I just agree with prayer? Thank you so much for your honesty before God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands going up everywhere. Lord God, for those, Lord, that need a touch from you, that just need an increase, a boost, a kick, whatever you want to fill in the blank there, whatever they need, Lord God, that it can only come from you. I pray that Lord Jesus, that they would be encouraged today. I pray that they would be strengthened today, Lord God. Lord, that because of their faith in action, they will begin to see things move, Lord Jesus. Maybe it's in their marriage. Maybe it's in a relationship at work. Maybe it's a relationship with a child or a parent or a grandparent or, Lord God, whatever it is. Maybe someone's looking for a job and Lord God, they need one so bad. Lord, the bills are stacking up. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you would show up. Lord, because of their faith in action, Lord God. Lord, they're not just waiting. They're just not sitting around. They are working and moving aggressively, Lord God. Lord Jesus, they are waiting solely upon you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would just touch them, that you would be with them, and that you would strengthen them. Lord God, we thank you for these things. In your holy, wonderful name, amen and amen.